The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, Thursday, October 10th, 2019. A lot going on, and a lot we have covered. This it's funny. I thought it was going to be a one-day story, honestly. I thought it was going to be a one-day story, that Ellen DeGeneres thing with George W. Bush and defending her friendship as a matter of decency with him. We discussed it a bit at the time, a couple of days ago, and I don't want to necessarily revisit too terribly much of it. I'm happy to do so if we want. We still have the audio, et cetera. But notice a couple things here that I said then. No conservative has ever had to basically apologize or lecture conservatives that it's okay to hang out with liberals or leftists. It's only something that runs in one direction. I thought her tone was a little weird. I mean, I think she did a good thing in what she said, but I thought the tone and timbre of it was a little weird, as if she were, you know, the more important of the two people. He was the president of the United States for two terms, after all. And finally, I wanted to make the point that he's the safe one, because he's no longer in power. He's the safe one for a liberal or a lefty to defend being friends with. You never see them, and it would be impressive indeed if she would, as one of my callers put it, actually have the same standard for George W. Bush that she has and applied it to Donald Trump. But there are those that still can never be satisfied, and really there was no need to criticize Ellen after what she said, Ellen DeGeneres. And yet, surprise, surprise, the left can never really be appeased. Actor Mark Ruffalo, or is it Ruffalo? I'm not sure how you pronounce it. We all know who he is, I think. He wasn't buying any of Ellen DeGeneres' plea for kindness. He tweeted today, sorry, sorry, until George W. Bush is brought to justice for the crimes of the Iraq War, including American-led torture, Iraqi deaths and displacement, the deep scars, emotional and otherwise, inflicted on our military that served as folly. We can't even begin to talk about kindness. That's a really strong thing to say, and it's also morally irrelevant and absurd. I just wrote a simple response. If Ellen were alive in 1945, would it have been okay for her to meet with FDR or Harry Truman? You think about how the kinds of wars FDR and, well, the kind of war FDR and Harry Truman prosecuted. And Mark Ruffalo wouldn't have had enough room on Twitter. He wouldn't have been given enough characters on Twitter to cite the violence that FDR and Truman had to engage in to win those wars, or indeed even the deceptions they engaged in. You take the point. This only runs in one direction. And I think increasingly, probably against what I did, maybe it's just important to ignore the left, because they are so morally idiotic. They are so morally infantile. They are so morally immature. I mean, there's no satisfying someone who thinks that way. There's no satisfying someone who thinks that way. And if he says, no, she shouldn't have met with FDR and Truman, then you know he's a real idiot. If he were to say, yes, she should have, then you know it's just a partisan thing that runs in one direction. That is a follow-up on something else in the culture that I was kind of interested in, and I don't know if you like it or want to do it a little bit or not, but I'd like to do it. I'd like to take a little bit of a break from the news of the day if I can. You want to bring me back to it, that's fine. I mean, I was tuning into Dennis Prager this morning as I was doing some work around the house, and he made 20 minutes of making something interesting about, what was it, plastic bags or something? I mean, he can make He can make interesting the mundane, which is an important and indeed valuable skill. He's kind of like, in some respects, and I mean this only as a compliment, he's kind of like Malcolm Gladwell. He can take a story that we're somewhat familiar with and find more and more interesting angles to it. On that point, I'm reading Malcolm Gladwell's latest book. Have any of you read it, Talking to Strangers? It is fascinating. It is fascinating. You know, I've learned something every time I read Malcolm Gladwell, but I guess in my study of history, I didn't know this. I didn't know this. I didn't know that Neville Chamberlain met with Adolf Hitler three times at length. I think I knew that Winston Churchill never met with him once. I didn't realize Neville Chamberlain spent a lot of time with Adolf Hitler three times. And you know what it went to show me? And it's not necessarily a direct, it's an implicit but not an explicit point Malcolm Gladwell makes. I have long believed, as a lot of, I think, serious political philosophers believe, that you don't need to experience something to know it, because of the miracle of human reason and common nouns. You don't need to experience things to know something. And indeed, this is a great case. Who got Hitler better? Who understood Hitler better? The guy who never met him or the guy who spent tons of time with him? Clearly, that's just a really good example in sharp and historical relief of that point. In any event, one of the things I spent some time on earlier this week, Monday, seems like yesterday, but it was Monday, was there's no real word I can come up with, but just the horridness, absolute, terrible movie, disgusting movie, The Joker. And we got into an interesting discussion on this show about art, and I stumbled upon an essay I kind of wanted to review with you folks. Who Killed the American Arts? It's in the Spectator USA by the editor, Dominic Green, who is himself an artist of sorts. And we had a couple artists call in and talk about this whole what makes for good art. Can you have a subjective view of art? What makes for good acting? You know, one of the arguments I was making about The Joker, in one of the reviews or themes of review about The Joker that I dislike so much, is people saying, well, yes, but Joaquin Phoenix did such a great acting job. Did he? I don't know that he did. I don't know that he did. He certainly was hired to and played a psychotic. There's probably a lot of ways to play a psychotic. I've known a few. I've seen many represented. I've seen many documentaries. Psychotics, they don't all act the same way. That's one thing. There's not merely one way to act like, as no human beings act the same way, to be sure. But I loathe the idea that we celebrate someone for acting and doing a great job at acting in a role that I just think we all kind of go along with. Oh, yes, well, he was a great actor in that role. He may be a great actor. I have seen other movies of his that he did good jobs at. I don't know that this was that. I just don't know that. And I think people try and defend the movie just because he is a great actor. We know plenty of great actors that do terrible jobs in movies, don't we? I mean, can we agree Dustin Hoffman can be a great actor? But he's done some terrible movies, has done some bad acting. It happens. Great radio hosts can have a lousy show once in a while, to be sure. We all are. But I hate to celebrate the ridiculously evil, wrong, corrupt, and inane by merely pasting on it, well, that's art and you can't judge it. I have never accepted that. I have never accepted that, nor have I accepted that we should just go along with the notion that art for art's sake cannot be questioned, and that it can't, and that it has to be eternally and always morally neutral. I don't accept that either. It can be entertaining, to be sure. I get that. It should be uplifting. It doesn't always have to be educational, but I think maybe we've done ourselves a disservice by not questioning when it is harmful. And I think too many people want to. We're going through this right now, are we? Are you following a little bit of this transgender library, public library effort that's going on around the country, actually around the world, where someone wrote, Charlotte Allen, I think, wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal this morning. And it's been, of course, a debate between some folks at National Review and the New York Post, that there's now this effort with the Libraries Association to bring transgendered library book readers in to read, I don't know what else you'd call them, library book readers, to read library books to children, you know, 4, 5, 6-year-olds. Why? To norm them towards, you know, that part of life. And I don't know the value of that either. And I find it actually quite indefensible to confuse children at an early age. But of course, if you are in the left and you are of the iconoclasm of the left, where these social norms don't mean anything, I can understand why you would think it's not confusing to children. That isn't confusing to children because it's just a societal construct that there are boys and girls and men and female and males and females. And I'm increasingly very worried about this, extremely worried about this, because, you know, you break down nature and you have nothing left. And yet the hit on conservatives is that we're social Darwinists. Not quite. Not quite at all. I didn't get to this essay. I'd like to share it with you when we come back, if that's okay. Or if you want on anything else, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Now that's art. That's real art. Miranda Lambert, there you go. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Let me say a word about Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating, if I might. They have their watchwords that they live by and work by: quality service, great warranties, and installations done right. They have a great special going on right now for Patriot listeners. They will replace your air conditioning unit with a 14-SEER total comfort system at a never-before 25% off. They will also throw in a Wi-Fi smart thermostat, free duct cleaning, and a 10-year parts warranty, along with a 1-year maintenance warranty to prevent breakdowns, and no interest payments for 12 months. Chris Funk and the team at Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating, they also do plumbing. They're open 7 days a week. It's a company that shares your values, loves this station, loves this show. I love them back, not because of that, but because I have used them, and they are fantastic. And I have had friends that I have recommended use them, and they have used them, and they say the same thing. Fantastic. How many times have you heard people say that about an air conditioning and heating or plumbing company? Well, they say it about Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating and Plumbing, and it's well-deserved. At Cool Touch, it's upfront pricing, no games, and no guessing. Give them a call at 602-923-9600. That's 602-923-9600, or visit them online at cooltouch.us. And as always, let them know that we sent you, that I sent you. Great team over there. Great company. Great service. Before I get back to my art conversation, a conversation about art, I did mean to get to this earlier, and I shall do it now. There's a great line I've always liked in the Talmud. Who is wise? He who learns from every man. Who is wise is he who learns from every man. It kind of goes to the Ellen thing a little bit, but let me be more direct. I had a caller the other day who's generally politically on our side, but he was challenging me on a lot of things about, you know, how to get involved and why and where the conservative movement is just falling on its face compared to the left. And we talked it through a bit, and Hal, who's always wise, sent me a really good email saying things this caller can do now. And I think it's something we could all take to heart. He wrote, "I was thinking about the caller and I heard his frustration. What is happening in this country and what can we and other ordinary people do about it as conservatives? There's a lot that will help save the republic." I said some things. Let me give you Hal's list. It's a good list. And by the way, let me open it up to anyone else who wants to suggest adding things to this list about what you can do. I think it's a really good thing to do. You can get my email at 960thepatriot.com. I get every email. I really do. I read every email you sent me. I can't always respond. Sometimes I do, but I read them all. Hal's list: donate time to a campaign. They all need the help. 2, if you can, donate money to a campaign. They will use it to help organize against the left. Every $25 helps. 3, talk to children and grandchildren about what is going on. You are a voice of sanity, reason, and responsibility in their world. Make sure they understand what is happening because they need to get involved, too. They're going to have to live with what happens to our nation. 4, send everyone you know imprimis. if they might be interested in reading an alternative source of information. They introduce people to the community of conservative thinkers, and it ties them to millions of others who read Imprimis. It is the dipping of a toe into a great river of serious thinking. Best of all is it's totally free. If you don't know what Imprimis is, it really is. It's free, and it is wonderful. It's a monthly publication of Hillsdale's, and they just do one thing every month with it. Only one thing. It's not like a magazine where you're whelmed or overwhelmed with a series of stories and issues and divergent things. It's a speech, a transcribed speech from a serious conservative scholar. And by serious conservative scholars, I mean the kind of people you hear as guests on this show and guests on the other shows. Sometimes they are the hosts of these shows who are giving those speeches. And it is really well done. And as Hal says, it is free. And it is a great dipping of the toe into a great river of serious thinking. That's a nice phrase, Hal. 5, get your grandchildren to watch PragerU. Boy, is that a good idea. Get your grandchildren to watch Prager University. Maybe they will join Prager Force. This will help counteract the left brainwashing that passes for public education. And guess what? It, too, is free. It's great. It's free, as is, right, listening to talk radio. 3 great free things. Imprimis, Prager University, talk radio. 6, make phone calls for a campaign to remind people to vote. You call Seth, you can call them, and they need the help. Good point. You can also volunteer to be poll watchers, by the way. 7, always keep in mind the frenzy that the left, this is the heart of hearts here. This is what really gets to me. 7, always keep in mind the frenzy that the left uses against us in order to make it seem like they are the only show in town. This is dispiriting, isolating, and frustrating on purpose. It is psychological warfare and indicates that they do not think of people as citizens to be persuaded by logic, facts, or reason, but as subjects to be ruled as means but not ends. Help other people understand this and find better sources of information, like talk radio, or let me add Imprimis, or Prager University, all free things. Really, really nicely put, Hal. I want to underscore something Hal wrote in this line, number 7. Keep in mind the frenzy that the left uses against us in order to make it seem like they are the only show in town. I cannot tell you how important that point is, because they come at this with all the moral authority of highfalutin language. You know, clear and present danger to the country, clear and present danger to the Constitution, shooting holes in the Constitution, impeaching himself, indicting himself. This is the way they talk, folks, for a reason. For a reason. And for some reason, a lot of people buy into it. Well, if Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are so serious about it, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee is so serious about it, he must be right, and I must be wrong, and I must be part and parcel of some anti-constitutional or unconstitutional or undemocratic or un-Republican form of government kind of thing, and I really need to check myself. No! You don't. Hal is right. This is their strategy. The moral authority they come with is not necessarily any greater than the moral authority you come with. Look at the facts. Do your own research. Check them. It's maybe a small example, but it's a big example because it happens every single day, and it's the one I mentioned earlier. For example, the interview Hillary Clinton did on PBS with Judy Woodruff. You know, there's this big argument we're having right now about impeachment, and Donald Trump's argument, in a case a lot of us believe in, is that it really should go to the full House committee for a vote, because the whole House, it's not just getting House members on record. It's not just precedent. But when you have that bill, it affords, usually as it's been done in the past, it affords the president certain forms of due process within that resolution that will then be recommended to the committees once the House votes. It's an important part of due process in the impeachment process. And Hillary and Nancy are saying baloney to it. And Hillary went so far to undercut that argument of ours yesterday with Judy Woodruff as saying, when I was on the Watergate committee in 1974, we didn't have a full House vote. We just did it from a committee. False, wrong, lie. I read you the resolution that Peter Rodino put to the House in 1974. That was a full House vote. 404 to something. I don't remember. Was it 404 to 6 or 7 or 8? I don't remember. You don't have committee votes with 404 members. It was a full House resolution. It's a lie, and she gets away with it, and they do it daily. They have no more moral authority than you do. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Hal gave a 10-point list of things people can do. I got through 7. If you missed it, you can always go back and get it. Any part of the show is always available at the website, 960thepatriot.com. I'll just give you his last 3 suggestions. 8, go door-to-door for a campaign to get people to vote. Sometimes they need a reminder. 9, talk radio as a community that works against the frenzy and tries to counteract the kingdom of lies. Get others to listen. It's free. 10, get a fire in your belly. Turn frustration into action. Only action of whatever type you are interested in taking will counteract the left and save the republic. They want you to feel frustrated, helpless, and fuddled. They want you to be wrong. Despair is their ally. Nice sentence, Hal. It is part of their strategy against us and the republic. Don't do what they want you to do. Take Trump as an example. Ask what the left wants you to do and how they want you to feel. Tell them to go to hell and take action to work against them. That's really a very valuable email, Hal. And a set of advice. 3 great things are free that you can avail yourselves of. Imprimis, PragerU, Talk Radio. Sean is in Mesa. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Seth. How you doing?
I'm really well. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Got me thinking, the gentleman's letter. What one thing that I do with my – I have 2 sons, either 8 and 10. I make them a deal for every minute they – watch PragerU, they can play video games.
Oh, really? Smart.
Yeah, so they play lots of video games, and they listen to a lot of Prager.
Oh, my gosh, I really like that.
My ex hates it, but that's okay.
Sean, let me ask you something. Do your kids like the PragerUs?
Oh, they absolutely love them. Like my son, Maxwell, he's 10. He, Will Witt, he's one of the guys behind the PragerUs. He loves Will Witt, like loves him. I mean, he wants to meet him, and so he's kind of gone.
Maxwell Hammer is how old?
10. He's 10.
And is there a PragerU topic he has gelled to more than others? I'm just curious what inspires the 10-year-old mind.
So it's a good question. He's the male, like the male female.
Ah, yeah.
He's kind of like gelled to that,
No kidding.
Okay. Yeah, and we watched the one the other day on on masculinity,
mm-hmm.
and I'll have them watch the same one 4 or 5 times because they're young and
Oh, listen, as an adult, I think all of them, really, for that matter, are worth listening to.
True.
Watching 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 times. Yeah, you bet.
And he really likes the Will Witt when he goes out and interviews people and stuff, and and one thing I've tried to do is I try to think ahead of what's coming down the pike. So, like, for example, because Columbus Day is on Monday, and I assume that in school they'll talk about Columbus. So
I would not assume that.
Well,
and if they do, I assume that you will be afraid that they're going to do it.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
I assume they're gonna tell the kid that he's just a genocidal maniac.
Yeah, right. Right.
So, and luckily, Prager does have one on Columbus.
You bet.
Stuff. So
you bet.
I had him watch that one, and they'll do it themselves. They'll just when I take them from school, Maxwell, they'll get in the car. I'm like, okay, let me see your phone, Dad. Let's get on PragerU.
Nice.
They want to play.
Nice.
They want to play video games.
That's.
But also, I also want to encourage people that are listening. It's so easy to make videos. You can post on YouTube.
Yep.
I think people will be if they don't know how to do it. I think they'd be surprised at how easy it is. If you have nothing to say yourself, but let's say you're listening to talk radio and there's some good segments you want, if you're listening to a podcast, just take that section of the podcast and just make a collection of a little clip on a topic.
It's easy to do. You're absolutely right. You could take a 1, 2, 3 minute clip and put it up. You absolutely can. You can do it on Twitter too.
There's free software to download YouTube videos,
you bet.
And even C-SPAN videos, and you can make your own. And, I mean, I've made several myself, so I know these are just easy to do.
What great suggestions!
I wanted to just let people know that.
That's great. Now, how old is the other child?
He's eight.
And what does he? What issue has he liked, or is he the same as Maxwell Hammer?
Yeah. The same as Max.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's pretty well easy. You know, go along, get along. They like the history, you know. And all the global warming stuff they really like. So we've talked a lot about that because they, you know, been hammering them in school with you know, saving the planet. And anyway, so they do like the climate change stuff, you know, debunking those myths. Those are good.
Thank you, sir. That's a great call.
No problem.
I love that advice.
Thank you, sir.
I love that advice. They want to play video games, they have to offset it with PragerU. And it's not as a punishment, they'll end up liking it. Fantastic. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Steve, don't go away. A little bit of the in the mood of the in the mood. A little bit of in the mood from Doc Severinsen. 602-508-0960. Steve is in Mesa. Hello, Steve.
Steve's in Tempe, Seth.
Or Tempe, either one. It's all the East Valley to me.
Right. Yeah, I was disappointed in Bill. I thought for sure he was gonna play Maxwell Silver Hammer in honor of the previous caller's son after the...
He may not know that song. It's entirely possible he doesn't know it. Bill, do you know that song?
I know, and
yeah, I think it was a reference. I'm glad you got it. Not everyone got that reference, I gather.
Oh, I got it loud and clear.
Yeah, you would have. Yes. As a man of high culture. Yes, as a man of... Yes, you would have gotten it. Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting how... I mean it definitely worries me along with a lot of people. I don't have any kids of my own, but I have a niece and nephew, and their parents are very conservative. They went to conservative schools up until college. They're both about ready to graduate from college, and they're both bought into the climate change, sustainability, you know, narrative and everything. And it really surprises me, but then again, it doesn't. One of my favorite quotes, and I'm sure you've heard it before, is the more a society drifts from the truth, the more they will hate those who speak it.
Well, I don't know that statement, but I agree with it.
Yeah, George Orwell.
Okay.
And I think what we're seeing right now is best defined by just, you know, the ends justifies the means. The left, it will do anything, they will say anything, and it's a major, major concern going into this election, because we're just, this next year is going to be a tough one, I think, as far as, I mean, it's already been teed up to be just a really tough situation for the administration, having to deal with this complete farce that they're trying to roll over on him as it relates to impeachment and the charges that are brought up against him, the big charges.
How do you think it works out, in other words, inuring to which part? What party will do better as a result of this forward march to impeachment, Steve? Because maybe I'm an outlier and maybe I'm wrong, but I do think that this is going to hurt Democrats more than Republicans. I really do. I really do. I think it has taken a big bite out of Joe Biden. And the more we look into this stuff, the more it seems to me Donald Trump did less and less wrong, and the Democrats are doing more and more wrong, quite frankly. Now, of course, I'm a little pre-selected here because that's what I want to believe. But I got to tell you, I try to look at things as objectively as possible, and I don't see anything in that phone call with Donald Trump that wouldn't in normal times be called regular diplomacy.
Yeah, Seth, I first called your show right before the election. I first heard your show and called in then, and you were asking callers, you know, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that were really nervous and concerned, and I was too, but I knew Trump was going to win. Mm-hmm. I had been to one of his rallies there at the Coliseum right in the middle of the summer when it was 115 degrees out in the middle of the afternoon. And it was right before he really started to pick up steam. And that place was packed, and he was great. And you started to see the rallies happening. And then you look at what's happening right now in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the – you look. I mean, this is Minneapolis.
Right.
This is leftist country.
It's Ilhan Omar's district. It is Ilhan Omar's district.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And you look at the – you look at the excitement. You look at the – a number. I mean, I was hearing the reports earlier about the number of people that were going to be attending and that were in line to attend. They were waiting in the rain.
Yep.
And
they came in from the rural areas. Yeah, you bet. No, they're this kind of passion and love is not replicable. It's not duplicable by Joe Biden any more than it is Elizabeth Warren. They couldn't do it. Probably not even in Ilhan Omar's district.
No. And Seth, the other thing too is one of the things that is ingrained in us being Americans is we do not take lightly somebody that's being unceremoniously damaged.
The word you want is unfair. I think that's a big one. I think Americans of all stripes still have fairness in their hearts. I think they don't like unfairness.
They don't like unfairness, and they don't like it when they see somebody being railroaded.
You bet.
And they absolutely love it.
Notice even, you're so right about this, Steve. Notice even when you see people that are kind of, you know, despicable, and even when something wrong happens to them in the court of law, let's say, people who are naturally not on their side, they'll say, okay, yeah, but that wasn't fair. Right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And they like it even more when that person stands up and doesn't take it.
Yep.
And that's exactly, and I'm convinced that, and you've heard it before. I mean, other people that are politically dialed in have said it, that there could not have been a better president for this particular time than Donald
Trump. In hard times, you need a tough man. You bet.
His mental toughness is unbelievable. And I was going to tell you too, real quick, Seth. I watched a documentary just the other night. 2020 did a special on Siegfried and Roy, and you know the story about what happened to Roy with the tiger and everything. And, and I didn't really know too much about those guys, but I watched that documentary, and you know it must be ingrained in the German culture or something. But Siegfried and I don't think Roy was German too, but those guys were just tougher than nails when that whole thing happened.
I bet they were.
Yeah. And just really nice guys.
I'll check it out. It sounds kind of interesting. I don't know enough about him, Steve. I got to hit the break. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Thanks for spending some of your day with us. Steve used a word I've been focusing on a lot today, truth, truth. It reminded me of a speech Dr. Bennett gave some years back entitled Truth, and he concluded it this way. I think it's probably worth repeating. The enemies of moral truth have an impoverished understanding of reality, of human dignity, of the human drama. They declare implicitly or explicitly that there is nothing worthy to which we should give allegiance, nothing deserving of our reverence, nothing elevating for which to live, and nothing, not family, not country, not faith, not honor or truth for which to sacrifice or even die. Theirs is a world that cannot celebrate human excellence or heroism, for it is a world where everything is equally good, equally bad, equally meaningless. The real stuff of life, its vividness and grandeur, its joy, mastery and beauty, is all thought to be illusory. If the relativists are right, then as Malcolm Muggeridge once said, the cynics, the hedonists, and the suicides would be right. The most we can hope for from life is some passing amusement, some gratification of our senses, and death. But as Muggeridge pointed out, that is not all there is. There is more to life than shadows and caves. There is also always sublime truth. And we need sublime truth today. Like the Marines, we desperately need not only a few good men and women who are interested in seeking truth, a worthy endeavor for sure, but a few good men and women who are interested in defending it. Several years ago, Saul Bellow wrote that our post-industrial, post-Christian, post-everything period of flux and crisis does not breed stingable horses, only millions of gadflies. Today we have millions more gadflies and not enough stingable horses. What's a stingable horse? The person who stands for truth in whatever arena he finds himself and who endures, however strong the sting. People like Alexander Solzhenitsyn or Martin Luther King or Ronald Wilson Reagan. In the defense of truth, we must be prudent, large-minded, non-censorious, intellectually serious, and morally imaginative, but we must also be engaged and purposeful. And perhaps, above all, we must be brave. We must not be afraid. Thank you, Dr. Bennett. Thank you all. Until tomorrow, I'm Seth Leibs, and God bless. Class is dismissed.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.